Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Baseball family, this week we have to talk about Shohei Ohtani, Trevor Bauer pitching in Mexico, and our preseason emoji tiers right now.
9plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome back, baseball family, to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast. I am going to captain the ship tonight, but always, as per the most use, on that side of me. Whoop, Brad is over here. How are you, Brad?
You were right the first time. I'm doing well. Doing well. Because guess what, Brig?
What?
We only have 2 days. 2 days until spring training. Or not spring training.
What?
Spring training is over, officially.
It's done.
The regular season. Yep. Opening day is in 2 days.
Yes, it is. And boy, are we not excited.
So I am excited.
I can't wait. I can't wait. For those of you that don't know, the minor league opening day is going to start around April 9th. Most teams are going to start around April 9th. So if you have not already purchased your tickets for opening week of your minor league local baseball club, go do that crap right now. I did.
You did?
I did
you
that
got
today.
Your tickets?
Yeah, I did that today for opening day, actually. It was,
nice.
It's going to be awesome. It happens to be on a night where everything's just fell into place. Also opening night, very excited. But don't tell anybody because it's supplies. Okay.
Little secret.
So we're going to get into the weeds here first. Let's just jump in with both feet and talk about the Shohei Ohtani thing, because it's a whole thing and it needs to be talked about. Okay.
It does.
Brad and I, baseball family, we were going to jump in and start adding to the noise that was going on around the story, but we decided not to. And by we, I mean Brad. Brad said, let's wait and let's see what develops.
Well,
and
just
we're glad.
My thing was that we didn't know anything, right? At that point,
exactly.
It was all speculation and jokes. People saying like, oh, new Pete Rose, da-da-da-da,
yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
Oh, Ohtani's going to speak. He's going to give us Sweet 16 picks. You know, like, and I'm sorry, but I don't think it's very funny because it's a pretty serious thing that the face of baseball very well could have just as easily come out today and been like, I've been on baseball. I'm sorry. Yeah. Shouldn't have done it.
What are you going to do?
You know, like to me, that's a big deal. And I thought about it, Brig. I was like, if Ohtani bet on baseball, who else is betting on baseball?
Right.
And at what point do we just say, can't do it anymore?
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's kind of having an existential crisis today with Ohtani, Brig.
No, I was too. And I've been explaining it to some people, you know, not the situation, some people, the situation, but I've been explaining the emotional weight of this to people from my perspective since it started. And honestly, I'm still up in arms about it because, you know, I have a soft spot for Pete Rose and his situation. I just do. You brought that up. I think it's worth bringing up in the conversation. It's also very interesting that here very soon we will be talking about Pete Rose. So if you are watching, this is a tease right here. And if you want to see the cover reveal, it's on Instagram. All right. Seriously, though, Pete Rose has been on our mind for a number of reasons, not least of which this wonderful book that we're reading. But with the Shohei Ohtani allegations, it's how do you not have the conversation when, I mean, here we are with two guys that are just incredible baseball players. If we're going to draw parallels, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't help but bring them up into the same conversation. So.
Right.
It's been
I know. Well, especially with that much money that was involved. So do you mind if we just get into it, talk about the timeline, and then we can make
comparisons?
No,
I think we need to. Yeah,
okay.
We need to. Well, you do one and then I'll do one.
All right. Okay. So this all came out after game one. If those of you who maybe have not been paying attention and not been following very closely, after game one in Korea, apparently there was, I don't want to say it's like a team of reporters, but it was almost like HR was waiting in the clubhouse for Ipe Mizuhara. I put the pronunciation there for myself, Brig.
Yeah, Mizuhara.
Mizuhara. They're waiting for him in the clubhouse to fire him because he had been involved with illegal gambling. And so,
to the tune of $4.5 million
in debt. Yeah, I was reading something today. He said that he's like, I never won. He's like, I just kept betting bigger and bigger, trying to get ahead, which I understand. Like, that is definitely a thing that you chase and chase and chase if you're on a cold streak. And then finally, you're just like, I got to hit at some point. Can't just miss. And so I understand it because I've had like a week like that, right? Right. Yeah. And who hasn't? Who gambles? So difference is I'm betting with lunch money, and he's apparently betting with starting with hundreds of or thousands of dollars, going up to hundreds of thousands of dollars, up into millions of dollars, right?
Apparently so.
So because it was $4.5 million in debt to an illegal bookie. At first, the news said that Ohtani gave him $4.5 million to pay off his gambling debts. But then not long after that, the story changed. Yeah. And it turned out, and they were saying that Mizuhara had stolen the money from Ohtani to pay off his gambling debts. And I can see, like, when that happens, why people are like, well, no, hold on now. Wait a minute. Like,
yeah.
Why are you changing your story? And the reason that the story would change on Ohtani's behalf is because there is such thing as wire fraud. The Wire Act specifically is a law that makes it so that you cannot transfer money for illegal gambling.
That's two years
in federal prison for every wire transaction. So if there were $500,000 transactions to the tune of $4.5 million, Brig, real quick, what's that? 9 transactions, 18 years in prison for Shohei Ohtani?
That's bad.
That would be really, really bad. Right.
Yeah.
So it would make sense why suddenly somebody's like, oh, but no, it was stolen. Right. And I could see why people would be skeptical with that.
Yeah.
Right. Because that was my first thought. I was like, oof, that's ugly.
It's been a bad look from the drop. Right. From immediately. Can I say it that way? Brad, it's been
from
bad.
The immediate.
Yes. So all of this information sort of dropped in a media scoop, I guess you could call it, because ESPN did a 90-minute interview with Mizuhara about his involvement with an illegal bookmaker in Southern California, who is also, by the way, under federal investigation for said activity.
And by the way, real quick, how is this dude not in handcuffs like yesterday after all this?
Yeah. Right. Because
they know who he is. Why is
his name quiet?
They know who he is.
Yeah.
They have his name. It's been in these articles. And they have the evidence that I'm assuming they would need. So, like, why is this dude still out on the street? And they're like, well, we just don't have quite the evidence that we need.
Come on, man.
If you have the evidence you need to just about destroy somebody's career and another man's life, how do you not have the evidence to take down a bookie?
Yeah,
that's what I want to know.
Running multiple books with multiple clients.
Yes.
You don't become an illegal bookie with just one guy.
Right, exactly. So there's more to this. So Ohtani's name was attached to the wire transfers, and that's kind of how he got involved here, because
of course
ESPN was doing their investigative reporting. They're looking into this. They found that Ohtani's name was attached to these wires, and that's why they went back to Mizuhara. The bookie noticed that his name was attached, but decided not to ask questions because he was getting paid.
For sure.
And so this is how this works. Is people have been saying, like, why on earth would you go to an illegal bookie? First off, sports betting in California is not legal. Okay. Right. So there's that. But also, for anybody who has wondered that in a state where it is legal, like, say, New York, right? Why would you go to an illegal bookie if you can just use FanDuel or DraftKings? It's because you cannot gamble on credit on a gambling app. A bookie will let you gamble on credit as long as he thinks you're good for it. Yeah. Right? Because I could see the conversation being like, the bookie being like, hey, Ipe, how are you going to pay for this? And he knows that he's Shohei Ohtani's translator, right? And he's like, all he has to do is say, hey, Shohei's got my back. Bookie takes his word for it. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
He doesn't ask any more questions, being like, well, hold on. He's a big leaguer. This is illegal for him to do this. That's going to be wire fraud, blah, 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 blah. He's not concerned about that. He's just worried about getting his money, right?
That's it. That's his whole job. Honestly, it's his whole thing.
It is his whole dang thing. And that's why that to me is how Mizuhara could have easily racked up $4.5 million in debt, gotten tied up in this entire thing. And we'll get to it in a little bit, but I believe Ohtani when he says he didn't know. I'll get to that in a little bit.
So Mizuhara was fired by the Dodgers right before the team left the clubhouse after game one. This is in Seoul. And then over the weekend, more news kept coming out, which painted Mizuhara as a liar, that he never attended UC Riverside, which was on his resume. He never worked for the Yankees or the Red Sox. And now the question becomes, who is in charge of hiring him for the Angels, and why are they not being held at some level of accountability for failing to do a certain amount of due diligence in their hiring process? Is this just Artie Moreno being cheap again? Is that what this is?
Not running a $50 background check, or however much it costs to run a five-minute background check? Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I don't know what it was. If they were just like, yeah, just get him somebody. He speaks Japanese.
Or did he come over? Because he didn't come over with him from Japan. This is somebody he was put with when he got to the Angels.
As far as my understanding, yeah.
That's my understanding,
they were basically
too.
Assigned together when he got with the Angels. So,
yeah.
To me is like, it almost feels like super Angels, though, right? Doesn't it?
Yeah.
That, like, they would miss something super crucial like that.
Yeah.
And then end up having some, because all the weird, stupid things that have gone on and unfortunate things that have gone on.
I was going to say
over the really last sad. Decade or so because of a lack of administrative control in that organization.
Yep.
This is just exactly another one.
It is. And they're not small. None of them have been small.
No, none of them. It's bonkers. It really is.
Bonkers.
I don't understand it.
If you're anyway, in the owner's group and in the commissioner's office, how are you not looking at Artie Moreno by now going, excuse me, sir. Like, you are soiling the brand, and the entire league is now suffering in the court of public opinion because of your repeat mistakes.
Yes. Yeah, either hire some people who can figure it out or figure it out yourself or something, because
get out.
Things are not going well in Anaheim. But anyway, so
let's
fast forward
to Monday afternoon, right? Mm-hmm. Ohtani held a press conference with no questions. He said there would be no questions. He read a statement, and in that statement he said, I never bet on baseball or any other sports. I never have asked anybody to do that on my behalf. I never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports. And moreover, he said, what does it say here? Just to go over.
Yeah. So it's a little clunky because
he was speaking Japanese and the translation.
Yeah. So he says, just to go over the result. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay. Oh. Really quick. Let's forgive the translator a little bit. I've done translation work. It's super hard. And the difference between translation and interpretation are two wildly different things. And they brought in a guy who was trying to translate, but he ended up doing some interpretation in the meantime, and he looked like he was struggling a little bit, and rightly so. It's not an easy thing to do. So let's cut this guy a little bit of slack. If it sounded like Ohtani spit out a lot more words than the translator conveyed, that's probably because that's exactly what happened. Okay.
Well, so you watch the guy, he's like writing down what Ohtani's saying as he's saying it. Right. And then he's probably looking at what, like reading what he said, and then,
it's hard.
And then interpreting.
Give him some grace, people.
I can't imagine, man. So then he says, just to go over the result in conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies. He also said, last weekend in Korea, media reached out inquiring about my potential involvement in sports betting. Ipe never revealed to me that there was this media inquiry. Okay. Now that's fine. You know, like, right. And then he also said that he had no idea this was going on. But the big question people keep asking, though, because Ipe Mizuhara had been transferring money from Shohei Ohtani's account to the bookie. Now, the big question everybody has is, like, how did Mizuhara have access to Ohtani's accounts?
Brad has an answer.
I think that's super duper easy.
Yeah.
So they've talked about how those two spend a ton of time together.
They're right. Besties
together all the time.
Yeah.
Brig, if I'm at your house and I need you to get something on my phone, I'm going to say, hey, 1234. That's my passcode.
Yeah.
Go
yeah,
ahead
yeah.
and get in there. Right.
Right.
So
same
because I trust you.
Yeah. Now, thank you.
You have access to my text messages, my credit mm-hmm. cards, my bank account. Mm-hmm. And if you can't get into the banking app, you know where to go to get that password.
For sure.
Right? So yeah. if he's trusting Mizuhara with so much, with everything from communicating to negotiating to everything in between in his life, and they're spending so much time together that Mizuhara at one point said that he spends more time with Shohei Ohtani than he does with his wife. These guys trust each other.
Yeah.
Ohtani trusts him to get into his phone and not do anything with it. Mizuhara, somebody who has a gambling problem, an addiction.
An addiction, yeah.
Is in desperate times, has a best friend who has money.
Yeah.
Wouldn't put it past somebody to steal money from somebody if they're in debt like that.
No,
that I wouldn't put it past me. That is super either. Easy. Even if he doesn't do it on his phone, he could take all that information off his phone, log in, password, go get on his bank. He has his phone there, two-factor authentication, get into easy. His bank account, wire transfer money whenever he wants to. No problem. Yeah. He could do it while Shohei's in the bathroom.
For sure.
Like, to me, that's not even a thing. Like, not even a question. Like, how did he have access? Easy. They trust each other.
Right.
That's all.
Okay. Now, I'm going to jump in and play devil's advocate here.
Okay. Do it.
And I'm going to say that, first of all, let me just make this super clear. I don't think Shohei Ohtani's guilty of anything. I really don't. That is not what I'm going to, that's not the picture I'm going to paint here. What I am going to say is, in the event that any evidence came out that implicated Shohei Ohtani, Major League Baseball would do anything to cover it up.
Oh, yeah. Given the evidence that we have reading Bloodsport with Rob Manfred and his inability to conduct an investigation, yes.
Yes. He, not only will they do everything they can to cover it up, baseball does not need this scandal. It's in fact the very last thing baseball needs. Everybody from Rob Manfred to the kid digging Cheerios out of the couch cushions during the seventh inning, everybody in between knows this is the worst thing that could ever happen to baseball if Shohei Ohtani is found guilty of gambling on baseball. It's the worst possible scenario.
Even if it was like Mookie Betts, them being like, they found anything like, yeah, he's banned.
You're done.
Right?
It's over.
That he was betting on baseball.
Because it's Shohei Ohtani, it doesn't matter what they find. If they find anything, if they look, okay? That's the thing, is if they even lift a finger to try and figure this out, whether it's to corroborate storylines and evidence, whether it's to seek to exonerate anybody, let's say they're casually indifferent at best, and then they sweep it under the rug. I don't know. I would not put it past the people in charge to say, shut up, this never happened. Now, here's the only other thing I can think of on the flip side of that is that if the evidence is so just unavoidable, it's astronomically mm-hmm. apparent that Ohtani perhaps bet on baseball. Let's now super, super hypothetical here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens is Rob Manfred it's going to force his hand and he has to come down so hard because he has to make up for what happened in the Astros scandal and for not punishing any players. So if I'm Rob Manfred, I'm bent over both barrels at the same time in this situation. That dude is in the worst possible scenario that probably any commissioner of baseball has ever been in this situation.
Just about. Yeah. The one thing I will say is that, so my, like I said before, my initial thought was wire fraud, right? Like I, and then as I was looking more into it, cause Mizuhara said he never bet on baseball and the bookie said he never placed any bets on baseball. Right. So they've got, they both have that going for them, that there's not going to be a lifetime ban, but there is the involvement with an illegal sports book, which is against the rules. And that's just a big old fatty fat fine. Cause there's something that I think it was Cozart a couple years ago. Can't remember his first name, like Jacob Cozart or something like that. He was betting in an illegal sports book and they just fined him an undisclosed amount.
Yeah.
All as well. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think they have enough evidence to support that, that there's no, that he's not going to get anything that comes out. He's not going to get a lifetime ban from baseball, but there is going to be a federal investigation because that's a whole lot of money to be stealing. And that is a whole lot of money involved in an illegal sports book. So there is a federal investigation that's going to be ongoing. And I don't see how, if there is some kind of illegal involvement, I don't see any way of him getting out of it. That if he did transfer that money to cover those bets, he's going to do federal time.
Yeah.
He's going to do time for wire fraud. That's the way that's it's going to happen. That $700 million is not going to buy him a get out of jail free card, I don't feel like, because
no, it's not.
If he can become the face of wire fraud, I bet they're, you the government would be like, yeah, we'll lock him up. We'll lock you up too.
That's right. That's exactly right. Anyway, let's send one up to the man himself, Nolan Ryan, to make sure this never happens, nor will it ever happen again.
But Thank you very much. Will say this, the last thing I have to say about this is that I might be naive to think that, I don't think he was involved. I think he was robbed, right? Yeah. That I think Shohei Ohtani is innocent, and I might be naive to that, but he has never given me a reason not to believe him so far. And so I believe everything that he said until he gives me a reason not to. And then shame on me if he's been lying this whole time.
Fool me once, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I have some friends that have said where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's a whole lot of smoke here. And they're not wrong. So it'll be interesting. I think, though, my final say is I'm right there with you. Like, I don't feel that he's guilty at all, but we don't have all the information yet.
But and we here's the never. Thing is, there's all that smoke could just be surrounding Mizuhara, who has said, it's my fault, I messed up, because initially he was the one who said, oh, Shohei gave me the money, you know, because that's what he told the bookie, so he had to stick with that story, so that's what he said in the interview. And then he probably realized, like, oh, I can't get him in trouble, I got to own this, and then he changed his story. And
or was he muscled into owning it?
There's a lot of people saying that he's the fall guy in this whole thing, that he made more money in one day than what he would have made the rest of his life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll keep an eye on it though.
All right. Let's move on. Trevor Bauer pitched against the Yankees for Diablos Rojos, and it happened in Mexico City, Brad. Super exciting. We talked about it. We're really pumped about it. And not all of the Yankees, brand ambassadors, let's call them, were on site, but some were, right?
Right. Yeah.
Some were injured, genuinely injured. Was, and some are maybe.
Is there
some
going
injured.
On with Aaron Judge right now? Because he didn't make the trip, it seems like.
Aaron Judge has an injury thing going on. LeMahieu has an injury thing.
He does.
Garrett Cole has an injury thing. I'm pretty sure George Steinbrenner III is injured in his grave somewhere. They probably just got everybody on the IL real quick. They're going to start the season that way. It's real nice. So Bauer's final line in Mexico City against the Yankees, 3 innings pitched, 0 runs, 4 hits, 3 strikeouts, and 2 walks. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. So he talked about those 2 walks because he was pretty upset about those. And what he was saying was, he's like, the air's really thin up here. I've never seen my stuff move that way, is what he said. And so, which I get it. I mean, I've heard pitchers talk about that before, like especially knuckleballers are like, I cannot pitch at altitude because it will just be a lob. It won't move.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know with less air resistance if his slider was moving more or how exactly that works, but I could see being, we talked about it before last year, that Mexico City is way high up there. And so it's not like anything he's ever experienced before.
Yeah, the elevation's crazy. It's I don't remember what we looked up.
Like 7,000 feet?
Yeah, it's
higher than Denver.
It's higher than Denver. Yeah, that's the thing that people, that's the thing to remember. It's higher than Denver.
Yeah.
Giancarlo Stanton did make the trip. He went 0 for 3 with a strikeout. And he said
Bauer, by the way.
Yeah, Bauer. Bauer got him. When asked about making the trip, he agreed by saying, "I think it's important for Mexico City. It's fun for baseball. It's a great meshing the two leagues together and countries," end quote, which is a mostly articulate way of saying, huzzah, this was fun.
I know. I was putting that together. I triple checked it to make sure that I had everything in there right. So like, I'm sure it was like, "I think it's important for Mexico City. It's fun for baseball. It's great meshing. Yeah. The two leagues together and countries, something like that." I don't know.
Yeah, right. With this, all as many comments as possible.
Nuke Lelouch. Yeah.
Quotation. You know, we just got to go out there and give him our best, you know?
I do think it's great that he went, though, and that he does feel like it was important to go, right?
I do.
Because, like what we talked about before, is they need to send at least a couple guys, right? Anthony Volpe was there, and he got struck out by Bauer as well. But the fact that those guys were there, you've got to have the face to go with the brand, or else it just becomes a sideshow. You've got to give the people what they want when you're doing that, or else there's no ambassadorship going on. So
it's just a pat on the head. Becomes condescending.
Exactly right. Yeah. I thought it was kind of cool. Alex Verdugo said that he really wanted to go, but he had to stay home because his girlfriend is preggers, and she's due soon. But she had to go to the hospital, is what Aaron Boone said. So he wasn't able to make it. He was pretty bummed out because apparently that's where his dad was born, was in Mexico City, which explains why he was able to play for Mexico in the World Baseball Classic last year.
That was
neat. That would have been really cool for him to go and play. But kind of a bummer that under the circumstances, hope everything works out for them.
I hope so, too. I should send him a book.
Yes, you should.
Okay.
You should.
If you guys have a tip on how to get a hold of Alex Verdugo, I got a book for him. we got a couple more things and then we're going to get to our emoji tiers. But the first thing, and this is really interesting, is apparently there's some sort of faction infighting and possibly a coup attempt of sorts going on in the Major League Baseball Players Association. Now,
and not all the way to the top. Not all the way to the top. It's not Tony Clark. It's mid-level like a deputy. Management.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't want to shoot the sheriff. They want to shoot the deputy, from what it sounds like.
Yeah, don't shoot the sheriff. Baseball Family, name that artist in the song in the doobly-doo. Okay, so, mid-level management.
Anyway.
Mid-level management is getting accused. Somebody accused. Was accused of bullying players into changing their opinions on things. Super duck. Totally see that happening.
But nobody said
Somebody else was accused of improperly representing players. What? You don't say.
But never said how?
Of course. It's a lot, he said. High school drama, she said. He said, she said. That's all it is.
Well, he said, he said in this instance.
Yeah, right. But it's just high school drama. Nobody cares. Ultimately, the owners are super happy with this because the players' union is fighting with themselves and they're not unified to fight against the ownership and the league. And this is great for the owners. This is terrible for
now,
the players.
And now it's two levels, too, because remember, now Minor League Baseball, MILB, is part of the union now.
They are.
So not only are the big leaguers not unified, but there are problems in the minor league ranks because one of these guys who's being accused of whatever, I don't know which one it was, they specifically represent the minor league side of things. So it's both levels are a mess as far as player representation, and the owners are just sitting in the corner like Mr. Burns. Excellent. Right?
Excellent.
They just can't wait. For this or can't wait to have to negotiate with these guys again because it's a disaster. It's such a mess. Not really surprised though, honestly.
No, I'm not either. Do you think No, that's a conversation for another day. That's going to be a can of worms. Sorry, I will pump the brakes. All right, let's move on to JD Martinez. JD Martinez signed with the Mets, which is really funny for a couple of reasons. One, good for him. We're really glad he's playing baseball professionally still. He signed a one-year, $12 million contract. This is another swing and a miss for Scotty B.
Dude.
He can't get his guys any of the money they want anymore.
No. And this has been a bad offseason, by the way. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm all for guys getting paid. But there are certain Scott Boras clients who I don't want to see get – I shouldn't say I don't want to see them get paid. But I would like to see him taken down a couple notches. Unfortunately, I guess at their behest, right?
Yeah.
That he's demanding all this money going into spring training even. And these teams are holding strong. They're like, no, we're not going to pay him this much money. We're not going to pay a 5-inning pitcher, 7-inning pitcher money because you want us to. No, it's not going to happen. Right. And here, JD Martinez, an aging slugger, is not going to get money like he would have in his prime just because Scott Boras was demanding it.
Now, that's the somber side of the story, but the really funny side of the story is that JD Martinez said he's addicted to the playoffs. So he signed with the Mets.
Yeah.
Now, listen, we're all hoping, honestly, unless you hate the Mets, a part of you has to be hoping they finally pull it together. Like, you just, unless you hate the Mets, you gotta own up to that little twinge, at least a little twinge, of wanting this all to pay off with Steve.
I'll say this, Brig. I got a couple of buddies at my day job who are Mets fans.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit funny just like watching their misery just because they own it. They own it from spring training through October. Yeah. They stick with it. Because last year when everybody was picking the Mets, everybody's picking the Mets for everything in the NL East, right? And I asked one of them, I was like, hey, are the Mets finally going to pull it together this year? He's like, no, they'll find a way to mess it up. And it was March. And that was his response.
For sure. Well, maybe JD Martinez is the linchpin they've been looking for, Brad. Maybe he's the keystone. He's got that
addiction to feed.
He's got that addiction. JD Martinez also said it almost feels like there's more teams out there not trying to win than teams that are trying to win. Now, that's not a news flash, Copernicus. We all know that's going on, but we're really excited that you let us know that it's official.
That's a Scott Boras line. He was fed that line directly by his agent.
You're right. That's probably
the issue that Scotty B has is that a lot of teams have figured out how to win by building a farm system, and that doesn't get him money now. It's going to get him money with guys like Cal Raleigh, who are coming up and will be hitting free agency in, I think, another 3 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But he doesn't care about that.
No, he cares about
his guys on the market now. And he wants to see teams overpaying for players today, because then once those guys are locked up long term, he never has to think about them again.
That's right. That's true. Then it's just dividend money.
And so at this point, he's got to deal with Blake Snell again next offseason. He's got to deal with why can't I think who else? He might have to deal with JD Martinez again next season. So. Yeah, he's going to have a lot more clients on the market next year than he had this year, and I don't see things getting better.
No, I don't either. All right, last topic, baseball family, and then we are going to jump into our emoji tiers, which is our preseason power rankings. This is the last thing. Yoshinobu Yamamoto made his MLB debut in Seoul, South Korea, and it was terrible.
Didn't go well.
It was just so bad. He lasted an entire inning, one very, very full inning. He gave up 5 earned runs on 4 hits, 2 strikeouts, 1 hit by pitch. He didn't walk anybody, which is awesome. But he did throw a wild pitch, so I'm not sure which is worse. That's a total ERA of 45.00 to start the season and his MLB career. Now, we shouldn't be laughing, but this is hilarious. This is so bad. So he was obviously a little wild in the outing. He probably had some nerves going on. Genuinely, I think this will pan out. Brad, do you feel the same way?
I'm not worried about it. I saw him throw his first bullpen or his first like live at bat in spring training.
Yeah.
He looked good then. And I think this is just nerves coming out here for his first big league start. And you know what though? I'd rather see a pitcher hit a guy than walk a guy because that helps with his pitch count.
Yeah.
So, hey.
Yeah, you're right.
Just being efficient. That's all. If you're going to put him on, put him on right away. Being efficient.
Brad pulled that line right out of the Nolan Ryan handbook. And before we take a break, baseball family, want to let you know that there are a number of ways you can support the podcast. The easiest one and our favorite is to jump on patreon.com and search Baseball Together. We have 5 tiers of support on patreon.com. We have $1, $5, $10, $15, and a whopping $500 of support. That helps us keep doing the things we're doing. It helps unlock more of the things we want to be doing in the future. And we've got some, I know we keep saying this because we're building slowly and quietly in the background, but just you wait, Henry Higgins. We got some cool stuff coming. Now, the cool thing for you is that in every tier of support, there are stickers and goodies, and we have hats and t-shirts and stuff like that. But the $500 tier, support tier, man, I say it every time. If you have not gone to look and see what I'm willing to do, you need to go find out because it's very exciting for me and for you. And everybody will win. And I'll wear whatever you want. So, baseball family, with that, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into our emoji tears.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, baseball family. So we're going to get into our emoji tiers. These are our preseason emoji tiers. This is our version of Power Rankings. If you're new here, we have 5 tiers, not to be confused with the 5 tiers of support. These are 5 tiers for our Power Rankings. We have the Diamond, which is the top tier, followed by the Heart. Those are teams we love. Then the Question Mark, these are teams that we're not sure about. The Thumbs Down tier, those are just bad teams. And then the bottom of the barrel, or I should say the bottom of the toilet, is the Poop tier. Those are the teams that just tier. They stink. So we're gonna put them in the poop tier. The way we have laws around here though, Brig, that we typically abide by for
most kind of more of the like guidelines. Yeah.
You're right, more like guidelines. 3 in the top, and then it's 8, 8, 8, and then 3 in the bottom. If my math serves me correctly, that it should does. Be 30 teams. Everybody falls within those groups. Okay.
Correct.
So here we go with our emoji tiers. Brig, why don't you lead us off? Here we go with our Diamond tier.
I mean, honestly, my support or my picks for the Diamond tier are Braves, Dodgers, Orioles. Now, these are in no particular order, right. But if I had to put them in order, I wouldn't because I don't have to. I just think these are the 3 best teams in baseball coming into this season, and they're the most exciting. They're the most fun to watch. And they're making the biggest promises for this season. And they have the best chance of paying off on those promises. That's probably the easiest way to break it down.
Okay. All right. So I'll switch over to my Diamond.
Do it.
Oh, there it is. It's the same. So, so there's a couple things here. The Orioles. So if I had to order these 1 through 3, honestly, I would go Orioles, Braves, Dodgers.
Would you really?
I would, because I have a lot of concerns about the Dodgers defensively. Mookie Betts does not look good at shortstop. I don't love Max Muncy at third base. Freddie Freeman's at first, but Gavin Lux is a kind of a question mark at second base. Right, and that outfield is a bunch of young dudes.
Yeah.
So I understand this team is supposed to be able to score runs with just about everybody. Offensively, they are a juggernaut. But
For sure.
As we saw with the Mariners, it was about a decade ago now, where they were like, well, we're not going to score any runs, but let's see if we can hold teams to no runs as well. They lost a lot of 1-0 and 2-0 ball games. I feel like the Dodgers, because of their inability on defense, because this is the thing, is those pitchers are going to give up hits, but they don't have much range. Mookie Betts can range left and right, but if he's going right, he can't make that throw to first. We saw that. He tried to make the Jeter throw. It's not the first time we've seen that weak arm. It didn't look good at all.
No, it was so disappointing, honestly.
And Max Muncy has like zero range at third base. Like I said, Gavin Lux, the question mark at second base. I could go all the way around again, right? Like, they're going to give up hits, and then they're going to give up runs because they're going to continue to give them up because they don't have a whole lot of range on that team defensively.
Yeah.
And so I have a lot of concerns about the Dodgers defensively. I said a couple weeks ago I thought they'd win 105 games. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it came down to the last game of the season between them and the Diamondbacks at 98 wins apiece.
Yeah, I could see that.
There's going to be some issues. They're going to have to figure them out. It's going to take some time, and it's going to take some losses to figure it out.
Yeah.
So that's why I have the Dodgers at the bottom.
I would put the Dodgers in my third place as well for all the reasons you stated. But let's discuss Baltimore versus Atlanta, because I think what Atlanta was able to put together last year somehow just fell off a cliff. And whatever it is, I need them to have learned from this, and I need them to have found a way to pull it together. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be able to. I really hope they are able to. I really hope they give us another incredible season in the regulars, the regular season. In the regulars. I'm going with that.
That's what it is now. It's the regulars.
It's late here, okay? It's the regulars. So, but I think that what you want to talk about offensive and defensive capabilities, they've got the whole package. They've got everything that you need. So if we're talking just getting through the regular season, I think the Braves still stand the best chance of having the winningest record through the regular season.
They do, because we saw them do it last year, and there's not a whole lot that's changed. And I feel like – I do feel like, though, because they had like five guys who didn't miss any games until they clinched their playoff spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think those guys were gassed by the time they got to the playoffs. And I think that was a big problem. I think this year they're going to kind of pace those guys a little bit more. They're going to be willing to sacrifice a couple losses here and there so they can carry their momentum into the playoffs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're good enough top to bottom that, yeah, I think that they very well could have one of the best records in Major League Baseball. Like, I'd say one of I'm going to say the best record in the National League will go to the Braves this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Because I don't want to say Major League Baseball, because I think the Orioles have a shot to be just like outstanding.
I think Corbin they have a shot to be
as their ace. Like,
yeah, that's a big deal. I think that my concern with the Orioles is the division. I think if they were in a weaker division or a division with bigger holes, even if it wasn't like all the way weaker. I'm not saying move them to the Central in this conversation.
I was going to say, if they're in the Central, they'd win 130 games.
Yeah. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying they're in the AL East, and they've got teams with big time chips on their shoulder, first of all, and lots of talent and huge winning capability. Huge.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I worry about telling you or predicting rather that the Orioles are going to have one of the best records in baseball. I don't think so. Are they going to win big? Yeah, I think they are. But are they going to have the best record? Probably not.
Okay.
But they're going to go deep.
Yeah, they will. They've got such a good team. They're going to be super strong this year.
Yeah, so I agree.
Spoilers with the Orioles and my pick with them. Anyway, okay, let's move on to the heart tier. Go ahead, Brig.
Okay, teams that I think are enjoyable and are going to do well this season. The Astros make a ton of sense. They could easily have slid into the diamond tier, but they didn't. And, you know, I just have started to lose faith in the Astros being like in that diamond tier. I don't know if they're falling off. I don't know. I don't know if it's changes in management. I don't know if it's weird, you know, vibes in the clubhouse because of the how long it took him to sign extensions and stuff. I have no idea. But I just feel like, and this is the worst analysis possible, but in my gut says the Astros are really good and not just outstanding this season. So anyway, the Phillies, on the other hand, are going to stay exactly the same. They're going to be really good. They're going to push deep. They're going to make it really hard on everybody else. And who knows what's going to happen. Anything could happen with the Phillies. They're going to be just outstanding. Diamondbacks, I love what I saw last season. I love some of the changes that they made in the offseason, and they're going to do really well this year if they can keep it together. Rangers, same thing, though I don't think the Rangers are any sort of repeat threat. I just don't feel that from them. I just don't think they have what it takes to come back and do it again. I put the Mariners here because I want the Mariners to be here. This is totally hopes and prayers type stuff. I really want the Mariners to be here. I think they have what it takes, and I think they just got to move some guys around and find their spots and maybe move some of the young guys up, create some competitive drama in the clubhouse or something. I don't know what needs to happen. You do, though, Brad. You know what needs to happen. The Cubs are in here because of Craig Counsell, honestly. I think what Craig Counsell is going to be able to do with the team that has that much talent and did better than anybody ever expected last season in the first place is going to be awesome. So I'm very excited about that. The Blue Jays are either really, really scary or they suck. And this, I think going into this season, they've got really scary hats on, and we'll see what happens moving forward. I think the Yankees are in exactly the same place, and I'm a Yankees fan. I think when they're on, and when they're hot, and when they've got everything clicking, they're terrifying. And specifically, offensive capability is going to be unbelievable this year if they can get everybody healthy and if they can gel. I think when they are off, they are bottom of the barrel bad this season. That's what it's going to look like. And I don't want to say that, but I'll bet you throughout the season, you watch the injured list, and this Yankees team, every time we do this once a month, that Yankees team is going to move up and down, up and down, up and down. They're playing hopscotch with my emotions all season long. You just wait.
This will be a fun ride, Brig.
Yeah, I can't, man.
All right, so my heart tier is pretty much the same. I've got the Astros, Phillies, Diamondbacks, Rangers, Mariners, Blue Jays, Yankees, but I swapped out the Cubs for the Reds. I'm really high on the Reds this year, Brig. Like, super duper. They have got such good young talent. The big question mark I have is like the back end of their starting rotation.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, like they have such good offensive power on that team, top to bottom. The fact that you've got a guy in Jonathan India who they don't necessarily have a spot for. I watched him play two times in person this spring and watched another game on TV with him playing, and he played in a different spot each time because I feel like they're trying to find a spot for him because they have so much talent, so much bit more defensive talent in his place that they're like, well, we need his bat still. Right.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to find a spot for him. And it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy to me that you have your rookie of the year from a couple years ago, who still is very good. And you are having a hard time finding a spot for him because you have so much talent on that team. So I'm very high on the Reds. I like them, honestly, to take the Central. I shouldn't get too much into that because we're...
Yeah, knock it off, Brad.
Sorry, I apologize. Obviously, I have my Mariners in the heart tier. And I'll tell you one big thing about this. I know last year I was really high on them coming out of spring training, but that was mostly a facade because I didn't feel super confident about like three of those spots in the lineup. It was because I had predicted like 4 years before that was the year the Mariners were going to win the World Series. So I was riding it all the way, riding the bit, Brig. And so this year I feel a lot more confident about this team that they're fielding than what they did last year. Like, so much more. Ty France was batting like third or fourth last year.
Yeah.
He hit eighth today.
Oh.
Yeah. Not only, and I think part of that is because he's coming off of, he had a terrible year last year. But yeah, also,
he had a really good stretch there. But
he did have a good stretch. But man, overall, it was so bad. And he went to driveline with JP Crawford to try to fix his swing because he came out of there. He's like, I've been swinging mechanically wrong since I was in high school, which is crazy. Wow. The dude got to the big leagues that way and was like, just raking for so long and then suddenly fell off. Anyway, yeah. The Mariners lineup this year is so much stronger than it was last year, top to bottom. You've got Jorge Polanco batting third behind Julio Rodriguez. Then you've got Mitch Garver. And then you've got, or no, you've got Cal Raleigh. And then you've got Mitch Garver. You got Mitch Haniger batting sixth, who was batting third just a couple years ago for the Mariners. Like, this team's way better. And I love them. I'm super excited. I'm way more excited to come out of spring training than I was last year. And I was just spring training, but everybody's looked like they've been really clicking the last week or so. So,
yeah, you can invest in fake baseball all you want, Brad. I do it all the time.
I am, Brig. and this is the thing, is that they looked good against the guys they needed to look good against, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's all contextual because you want your starting pitchers to look good too against the starters the first two times through the order. The first time through the order, like, okay, that's great. You know, Luis Castillo's ready to go.
That's important.
So anyway, super high on the Mariners. The Blue Jays, like you said, and I'm not super sold on having them in this hard tier because there's a chance that they could just be like, you know what? We're all going to be free agents soon. Let's just break up the band.
They could, right? But it's the division they're in. You gotta respect it. That's the problem with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody wants to be embarrassed.
Right, and you don't know what you're going to get from Aquinoa this year because was a train wreck last year. Yankees, I feel like I have to put them here because of the talent, but I still am not sure which Yankees are going to show up this year because you don't know who's going to show up day-to-day with that team.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, and then same thing what you said, Astros, Phillies, D-backs, Rangers. They're all threats. They're all going to be threats this year.
Yep.
So, all right, let's go to your question mark.
Okay. I don't know what's going to happen in Minnesota. I want to see Minnesota walk it back and go deep again, but I don't know. I'll tell you who I am excited to watch is the Tigers. I am excited to watch the Tigers this year. I think they came with some magic a little bit last year. I think it was outshined by Miggy doing his final tour. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of a cloak and dagger thing for the rest of us. But I think if you look just below the surface of the Miggy parade, you could see that they got some magic going on over in Detroit. I think we're going to start to see the fruits of that this season for real. It might not be pretty, but I think it's going to be effective.
I was hoping for it last year with my meaningless predictions, but it didn't work out. But I think this could be the year that it does.
It could be. It could be next year. I'm willing to say that it might not be there yet,
but it's
which is coming. Why I've got them. It's coming. It's why I've got them in the question mark tier, because maybe it's this year. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's the first half of this year. Maybe second half of this year. I don't know, but something's going on in Detroit and I'm here for it. The Giants are here because of their moves they made this offseason with Matt Chapman and then Blake Snell and some others. That's the reason the Giants are here. Could go either way, honestly. And if you are right and you predict the Dodgers have such terrible defensive capabilities, then that is going to bring the Giants into a more a better spot to contend. And if that happens, then, you know, but again, those are all question marks, right? I have no idea what's going to happen. Yeah. So their success is somewhat dependent on the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers' success. The Padres.
It's so weird. It's a team. It's a team full of shortstops. Like, how do you feel the team?
Yeah,
like I think I don't remember if I said this last week or if I was talking to my dad about it. But like, positionless basketball works. Positionless baseball does not.
We talked about it. I don't know if it was on the show or not, but we talked about that too.
Yeah,
and it's terrible. And I don't think it's going to work. I don't.
Well, and the pitching is not.
No, it's not.
I'm not entirely sold on that pitching staff either. I know you got Yu Darvish still, and they did just get Dylan Cease.
They did.
But
seeing this is again, this is where I'm like, because Manny Machado may be his strongest season to date, right? Like, he is just getting better and better, I think.
I know, it's crazy.
It makes no sense that he's just getting better. But so anyway, this is all these reasons we're like, what's going on with San Diego? Like, that's why they're in the question marks here.
Right.
The only reason I've got the Reds here is because, like you said, Jonathan India is still platooning around trying to find a home. They just lost their starting third baseman to a PED suspension. They've got
I don't think he was slated to start, though. I don't know that he was. I don't think they were planning on having him start opening day.
No, I thought he was.
So Noelvi Marte, he came over from Seattle in the Luis Castillo deal, and I don't think they were ready to have him start on opening day yet because he came up last year and made his debut, and it didn't go well. It was a little disappointing. Oh, okay. So I think they're probably going to have him start the year in the minors this year anyway. I think now, though, they probably got him moved to the 40-man roster so he can do his time. And then he can come up or kind of go down or whatever. But he's still super young, and so he's got a lot of time to develop. But I don't think they're planning on him starting opening day.
Here's the problem, though, with the Reds is Ellie De La Cruz was electric until he wasn't. And then his offensive capabilities just took a nosedive, and I thought, maybe this is young, maybe this is some kind of yip, maybe I don't know what to call it. But that's why they're in the question mark tier going into this season. I'm not sure what we're going to get. I like them. I'm excited about them. I'm just not sure. I'm not sold yet.
So you think about rookies. The thing that separates the good rookies from the great rookies, the good rookies come out hot. And they – or the good and the great rookies come out hot and they perform, right?
Yeah.
But they all – and then they all dip. Because everybody watches film on him, says this is how we need to pitch this guy, this is how we need to approach this guy, and these are kind of his weaknesses at the plate, stuff like that. The great rookies adjust and come out of it.
Like Gunnar Henderson, he's going to have that same problem this year. It's going to be
Julio had that problem throughout 2023 or 2022. Yeah. He had it in 2023 as well. Julio had a down year. He was disappointed in his year. He was top 5, top 10 MVP voting.
Yeah.
So the great rookies figure it out and they come back and they're even better. I think Ellie De La Cruz is going to figure it out.
I hope so.
And he's going to come back from it even better. So that's one of the things that I'm counting on with the Reds, why I have the heart tier.
That makes sense to me. I like it.
Cool. Anybody else you want to talk about in your question mark?
No.
Okay. I'll go to mine. So mine, I have the Twins, Rays, Cardinals, Tigers, Giants, Cleveland, the Cubs and the Royals.
Mm.
So the Cubs, I brought them down from the heart tier into the question mark tier because it was funny. I was sitting at a game the other day, and like you said, it's pretend baseball. It's all fake baseball. But I was sitting there looking at this team. I was like, this team has a lot of talent on the field. Where they're lacking in talent, I feel like, is pitching.
Right. Okay.
And so that's my big question mark with the Cubs, because you look around that field, like they've got a lot of talent. Like I said, on that defense, holy cow. And up and down that lineup, like that's a good team, but man, if that pitching can't keep the other team off the board, they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
No doubt.
So that's my big question mark with the Cubs is their pitching. The Royals. I want the Royals to be good so bad.
Yeah.
They're a talented group, man.
There's
a good young team led obviously by Bobby Witt Jr. Again, though, the pitching is a problem. Not so much the starting pitching. The starting pitching was pretty good last year.
Yeah, it's the bullpen. You called it a sieve.
Bullpen, man. Yeah.
You called it a sieve.
And it was.
That was the best. I still think about that. I was like, that's the greatest line I've heard on this show in maybe forever.
Dude, if they can just slow down the leak with that bullpen, they'll be all right.
Yeah.
Because they got a ton of talent on that team. And they're actually pretty fun to watch too. I like watching the Royals.
Yeah.
So all right, there's my question mark here.
All right.
Your thumbs down.
Okay, this is where the Mets go. This is also where the Red Sox go, and only because I couldn't put them. I only had 3 slots in the poop tier. So, and that's not a homer thing. That's how I feel.
I think about most their Red season. Sox fans have put them there as well. Honestly,
yeah, I don't think that's a shock. The Marlins, I don't have any hopes for this year. I don't, the biggest thing for the Pirates is developing Skeens and getting him up. When that happens, you know, that might bump them a little bit here and there. Until then, I'm not high on them. I again, the Royals, they're not doing it for me. I don't see any breakout performances. I don't see any sort of earth-shattering developments coming from them that's going to shake up the rest of the league or even their division. Anaheim's just where they are, and it's still a shame. The Nationals, honestly, they're my, like, what, 27th out of 30 team. This is where I'd put the Brewers as well, specifically because they don't know if they care anymore. The front office is doing weird deals. I don't know if they care. I really, it's so sad that they got to the playoffs last season, and we all got hot and bothered about the Brewers maybe having some success and Craig Counsell having more success and them being quietly good and quietly consistent and all the time this and all the time that. I'm fed up now. So they need to get off the pot, man. So I'm putting them down here. I don't care anymore.
That is outstanding analysis of the Brewers, Brig. I like that.
Thanks.
Okay, so I have the Mets, Red Sox, Marlins, Pirates. I put the Padres here. Angels, Nats, and Brewers. I don't like the way the Padres are put together. Like, Manny Machado can only do so much. Fernando Tatis Jr. can only do so much, right? Like, I understand these guys are all stars. They're mega stars. And Xander Bogaerts is an all-star. But they've moved these guys off their natural positions. And I have been saying this for, and I know Tatis was the Platinum Glover last year, but I feel like part of that was surprise, right? Like, man, did you see what he did out in the outfield?
It's like,
he deserves a Platinum Glove.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, I saw him make a great play tonight. Great plays are in fake baseball are still great plays. I don't even care, Brig.
Totally.
But I don't know. I just,
especially defensive plays.
Yes. Yes. I get nervous about putting an entire team of shortstops out on the field and being like, go do your thing, fellas. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're an athlete. You're a tremendous athlete. You can play any position. It's not Little League anymore.
That's what they're telling Mookie Betts, and it's not working.
It's not working. No. Is Ha-Seong Kim is playing shortstop now for the Padres?
Yeah, so is everybody else, but yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing there, and it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to me. O'Neill Cruz is coming back for the Pirates. Very exciting, but I don't think it's going to move the needle for them. McCutcheon's there as well, and I want the Pirates to be good. I would love the Pirates to be good, but I don't think they're going to. I think they had that little run last year, and that's probably the best run that they're going to have until Skeens is up for an entire season, at least.
And it's going to depend on how they fortify him, too. He can't be out there hoping to do it all by himself.
No, and he can't be out there every day, either.
No, exactly.
I mean, winning one out of every five games is not good. So, for those of you keeping track at home.
All right, let's go to the toilet.
Okay, here's a poop tier.
My poop tier is White Sox, Rockies, A's. It's really simple. It's I've got a little inverted thing going on here. You could flip it. Oh. It wouldn't matter.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. The White Sox were a dumpster fire last year, needed to tear everything down this year, which is funny. So it's funny, Brig. We popped over to the White Sox backfields because it was kind of a zoo at the Dodgers. Like, let's go see if we can get autographs over there. We did, because guess what, Brig? There was nobody there. But the thing that was funny was I pulled up their 40-man roster. I was like, they got some pretty good players on this team.
Yeah.
The problem is I just don't trust any of them to come out and win a bunch of ball games.
Nope.
I would love it if they did, though, because I'd like to see those guys do well and come out and move up to at least the thumbs down tier and push the Nats down to the poop tier. But right now, the way things ended last year, the way things look coming into this year, I got to keep the White Sox down here as well.
Yeah, I can't do it, man. I just have no faith. You go with your next one. I got to look up something.
Okay, so I actually switched it over. This is my poop tier. It's exactly the same.
Oh, it's the same. It's exactly the same.
Yeah, you didn't even notice it because it was very sneaky. So I'll talk about the Rockies for a minute. So did you see the quote that came out by Chris Bryant that said that he...
I'm looking it up right now. That's literally what I'm looking up.
You pull it up.
Because that's and I'll talk the about reason the A's. I didn't talk about the Rockies is because I wanted to have Chris Bryant do it for me.
Okay. So I'm going to filibuster with the A's. The A's don't spend any money. They are spending, I think it's $17 million less this year than what they did in 2007. The notoriously cheap team is going notoriously cheaper this year by not spending any money and having just bare minimum talent on the field, because they don't care what they put on the field for Oakland, because they're looking forward to Las Vegas already in what, like 5 years when that stadium's going to be done, something like that. So
a billion years.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's weird that the A's, it's almost like they're saving money to have money to put on the field when they get to Vegas, because they, for whatever reason, they don't want to spend it in Oakland. I don't know what it is. I don't care that you have a dilapidated stadium and you don't like the fans for not showing up, because we've had a whole show on that. Put a competitive product on the field and give your upcoming city something to look forward to. I feel like the way they're doing this move is absolutely wrong. And it really is bugging me.
Yeah.
So.
I don't blame you. Okay, well, I can't find the quote, but basically what Chris Bryant said was something like, something that disparaged the farm system and the club itself in Denver. And he's come out since and apologized and sets the record straight. And
yeah, he said.
Claimed he was misinterpreted and everything, but.
So he said, I've got it right here.
Okay.
There were other teams interested, but I didn't want to wait around. It was a completely different situation for a lot of free agents at the time. I guess I didn't do as much research into the prospects as I could.
Yeah, that's right. As prospects as I could.
Yikes.
Yikes. And then he comes out later and he says, I have no room to even say anything like that, considering how my last 2 years have gone. For me to have the audacity to say something like, ooh, our players aren't good, I'm gonna say something like that after not performing and not being on the field like that is never how I would ever come across.
It's a microcosm of the Rockies.
Yeah.
Although they did just sign their shortstop to a seven-year, their young shortstop to a seven-year extension. So
they got to get him while they don't know any better.
Pretty much. Yeah, that I think that's really what happened there, though. Brig was that his eyes may have gotten big and he saw what he was getting from this team right now and he decided to take it. But why not? Financials,
Brig.
Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he thinks that eventually they'll be able to come around and they'll be able to win, or maybe he thinks that in 4 years he can be like, you can trade me, and they will, because they do. They're not going to want to pay him.
They do that. Yeah,
I'm sure that eventually they're going to be like, I bet you it's one of those things where they offered that contract extension the same way a lot of people buy a house. I'm going to get a 30-year mortgage because I'm not going to live here for 30 years. I'm going to want to sell this house eventually.
Yep.
We're going to extend him for 7 more years and we're going to trade him away eventually because we have no intention of having him for 7 because we're not going to pay for him.
Famous last words, right?
Yep. Yep. I mean, it's happened to Trevor Story pretty much.
Oh, geez. Pretty much.
Except, I guess they didn't give him extension, but still. Anyway.
Listen, before we go, I got to tell everybody that one of our favorite things is sunflower seeds. We love them here. Brad loves them, especially. He goes through, would take you about an hour to get through one of those sample packs.
Yep.
You're just chewing through it at your desk.
Anyway. I actually, like the other day, my jaw was hurting because I had so many seeds.
Yeah, but your tongue didn't feel all chewed up and rashy, did it?
No, it didn't. It didn't.
That's and because that might be Chinook why seed... I reached
the point that my jaw was hurting because my tongue felt
exactly. Fine. That's because you were chewing Chinook seeds, right? And Chinook seeds are the best seeds ever, baseball family. We feel that way. We reached out to them. We said, hey, let's do a partnership thing. We love your stuff. They said, okay, cool. So now, baseball family, you can get 10% off your order at ChinookSeedery.com if you use code BTPOD. That's BT Pod, ChinookCedary.com, 10% off your order. We get a little kickback as well, so it supports the show. It's another way you can do that. Don't do yourself any mistakes. Stop mistaking the sunflower seed decisions in your mouth.
ChinookCedary.com, BT Pod, save 10%. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you can, especially on YouTube. That supports us more than you know. We appreciate all of your support and your listenership, baseball family. Opening day is on Thursday. We will be going live at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us then for our meaningless predictions for the season. And with that, baseball family, we will catch you Thursday night.